We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome on into our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier, Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister will be joining us shortly. We are at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard for day three of the NFL draft. Rouse is the official supermarket of the Saints. And guys, two picks in for the black and gold and schedule for today. Five more. Will we get picks?
Anybody got money? We're going to bet ahead the over and under that it ain't going to be five.
Right. Definitely don't talk to me about money.
we got to go on the under on that five.
I'll say three, and that might be high.
You know what? Before you said it, I thought it too, three.
I think they don't have – I mean, where they are in the sixth, where they are in the seventh, where they are in the fifth, if they were higher, they just don't have, you know. And I don't think at this juncture, and you tell me, you go into next year's draft to make a move into the fourth. I think they're going to get in the fourth, and it's going to cost them their fifths, maybe their sixth.
All the picks just to get back in the fourth.
Man, we're going to be like Ditka. I'm going to play golf after that.
We'll hit the Jazz Nest.
No. We will still have pick 239 in the seventh round.
Right.
Because that, in the draft value chart, you know what that pick's worth? 1 point.
One point.
Okay, we finishing up. This is COVID year. We had Zach's condo downtown. Yeah. They don't have a seventh round pick. So Zach said, man, just start picking all this stuff ready to go. All of a sudden, Deuce and I is talking. He's like, the Saints are up.
Saints have made a trade, right.
And they get the quarterback. Well, he really wasn't a quarterback from Mississippi State.
Right, they wanted him to be like the next
Taysom. He was the next Taysom Hill. Man, Deuce and I look one another, and they put on that quarterback. I said, man, we didn't see him play. There ain't no way he's playing quarterback in the NFL. He couldn't complete passes when he was in college. He was so inaccurate as a passer. And then we found out the vision that Sean had, that he wanted him to be that jack-of-all-trade type guy. But we were almost kind of packed up, ready to go. And then we see, bang, Saints up on the seventh round. He's like, what? What's happening here? And Deuce and I caught it last year. Round four starts, okay, they don't have a pick. And then we see, bang, the Saints are up, first pick.
Right.
He's that like, was also right. He just sat down.
He was like, what happened? I was like, I don't know, but we fixing to get a pick. And it was Saul DeVere. And he got more ink there than he did certainly playing, because he didn't play a lick last year.
Speaking of third day just getting underway, I see folks up at the podium to get things started off. The Saints don't have a pick until that fifth round. So nothing, no action in the fourth currently. First round, they got Talisi Fuaga, offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Then yesterday, traded up, get Kool-Aid McKinstry, a corner from Alabama. And like I said, three fifth-rounders, a sixth, and a seventh. We'll see how it all shakes out for today's, how it unfolds for the black and gold.
I think the intrigue today is where the next quarterbacks are going to get picked, because now you got Spencer Rattler from South Carolina and Michael Pratt from Tulane. And where they go, because Deuce thought that maybe
Pratt
would go in round two. I thought he was more of a third, and he's still on the board.
I would think both
and I thought
going round
I
four,
thought
huh?
Rattler would go late in the second, and he's still available. So goes to show you, man, once they get those six
once
off.
Once they get that run.
you heard him clip the hands. That was it. End of story. But I see some of the kind of pre-coverage of it, and a lot of the talk is about Pratt. and also about Spencer. Now, Bobby and I, we differ on Spencer. And also, let's say, Bobby would be with us today, right. but he's got a wedding. His youngest son, Bo, is getting married.
Baby Bo.
Right now, out in Florida. And so,
which, by the way, makes me feel very old.
Wait till you get them grandkitties. Then you really going to feel
Bo
old
getting married,
on that particular deal. But
I cannot wait till we do get Hebert on the air and we hear him say, Talisi Fuanga.
Man. You know they're going to give me him for that one. He can say Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Right, that's easy.
Well, he can say Kool-Aid.
Yeah, right. But, man, the Fuaga part, he might get down. But that first name, he's going to butcher that. Like he told me when they had signed Equanimeous St. Brown.
Equanimeous
St. Brown. He's like, Mike, you get it and say it a few times for me so I can hear it. And he told it back to me wasn't close. I mean, he wasn't close. He said, can I call him E. St. Brown?
EQ.
EQ. I said, okay, whatever you want to do is good enough. So we joined by Deuce McAllister. How was the basketball, Deuce?
How fast?
Okay, that told me all I needed to know.
How fast did you roll across the causeway?
All right.
Deuce ain't on at the
Deuce
moment.
Deuce ain't on. We'll get
We'll get it going.
Yeah, we'll
just
get
scream.
It
So back to the quarterbacks, Mike. The Saints obviously made some moves, brought in some veterans. Would you think, though, that a Spencer Rattler or a Michael Pratt could be on their radar?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on. Look at the backups they got on this team.
Right. You had a Jake Haener you got last year.
Do you think that Jake Haener, if you got to put him in a game, can win it for you? Or Kellen Mond?
Right.
Nathan Peterman?
Well,
Peterman?
I'm just getting
him
on
introduced. I will say this now. I will say this. Are we talking about going wire to wire? Or are we talking about just being able to handle the pressure and go in and execute the game plan?
Okay, I'm talking
kinda
about
like
if you've got to put him for three
like
games.
Like Jameis last year.
That's different. Three games is different than going in and finishing a game. Particularly with Jake. So here's what I do know. He has been working with Coach Gruden down in Tampa. And that was even scheduled before the coaching change. That was something that he had to or wanted to work on. I would have felt a lot better about him stepping into the number two role if you had the same offense. But giving him a new offense and not being comfortable in this system, I think all bets are off. I need to see it at this point as far as him operating in that set, being able to go out there and show me what he has.
Panthers. I'm sorry, guys. No. Please.
Mike, we got about 17 hours.
Keep going. Keep going, Deuce. I don't have to talk in that time frame. I appreciate that.
We got storyline after storyline that we got to hit with this team. But with Jake, he was a different player when it was live than what we saw when it was just practice. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
I thought he was good in practice.
He was really good in practice, but when the game started, he was a different player. That's what I mean. That's what I mean as far as him being able to go out there and compete. So it's got to translate for him because it didn't translate from practice the game. And so all bets are off for him to say, all right, he's the number two for sure. The other guys that they've brought in, Kellen Mond and Peterman, they have the ups on him right now. Now, I don't know if those guys can go in and start three games for you right now at this point. So I said all of that to say I wouldn't be opposed to them taking one of the young quarterbacks if they're on the board, but I don't think that they're going to be on the board for the fifth round.
Right. Okay, you and I didn't think they'd be this far.
No, I thought both of them would be gone.
I thought
particularly Pratt would be gone. And I particularly thought Spencer would be gone, particularly after the run of quarterbacks.
I agree.
Early in the first round. I mean, because now both of those guys, man, I mean, if you've seen Michael, unless there's something that we don't know about medical-wise, which I think would have leaked by now, you know, for him to last this long.
Kind of a head-scratcher, yeah, right?
It is somewhat
with Spencer,
of a head-scratcher.
His personality, he ain't Watusi, so to speak. He's not for everybody. But, see, Bob dislikes him because he says he's a small kid.
Well, he was a five-star.
He's a five-star recruit. He's the top player in the country.
In the country.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
But he's a much more mature guy now than he was as an 18-year-old at Oklahoma.
Sure. Correct.
Come on. You can't judge a guy at 18 years old and at 22 years old. It's a total. I told him, "What? You at 18 and you
imagine,
at 22?
Imagine, right?
Okay, it's different.
Me at 25. You talking about 22? Yeah. Me at 18 and me at 25.
Well, guys, stick around for more of the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. We're here at the Rouse's Market in Metairie, Power Boulevard, looking at some of their specials, pork tenderloins and St. Louis-style ribs, only $1.97 a pound. Also walking in, saw it is Sizzling Steak Saturday. Anxious to find out more about that throughout the
yeah,
day. We're going to be here
one of them, Steve.
Till 6 p.m. I'm hoping we get some tasty vittles as we get this broadcast. Like I said, till 6 p.m., come on out, say hey. We'll be going to our WWL newsroom, and we'll be right back with more Draft Fest coverage right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ding, ding. Round four underway. WWL Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Rolling on. We are at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Come out and say hey to us, 3711 Power Boulevard, to be exact. Love to meet you guys. The two picks already in. We got Jatavion Sanders, tight end from Texas, going to the Carolina Panthers. Then the Denver Broncos moving on up to get a wide receiver, Troy Franklin out of Oregon. New England Patriots on the clock, and followed by the Arizona Cardinals. Saints no pick in this fourth round currently. We'll see if they make that move up into the round to get somebody they like. And we'll also, like I said earlier, will they hold on to those five selections that they have today?
I'll be surprised. I'm going to keep it real. My goal today is to really kind of look at the NFC South, right?
Right.
See what the
how they're
the
filling their holes, right?
Doing. Carolina has four picks today as we sit here. Atlanta has five picks today as – not even like four picks today as we sit here. And Tampa has three picks. You know, as we start this day.
And so the Panthers got them a flex tight end who can catch the ball. Jatavion Sanders, really good pass catcher. He's almost like another receiver playing tight end. They never got him in line. He's always sort of flexed a little bit. But, boy, he can catch the football. He's got really good speed. Blocking, below average at best. But he can catch the football.
You see it. So.
And with Troy Franklin – him going with that deal, Denver getting the pick from Seattle, he now reunites with Bo Nix.
Right.
So it's the Bo Nix-Troy Franklin connection that was at Oregon is now in Denver with Sean Payton.
Hoping a little bit of that Joe Burrow-Jamar Chase magic may be there, Sean Payton.
Well, I don't know about,
two different type of players.
I'm not sure about that. And the Patriots have made that selection. It's Laden Robinson, interior player from Texas A&M, another highly recruited football player. He's a wide load now.
I think he was a I don't think he was a consensus five-star, but I think he was
a
four-star.
Four.
Yeah, I think he was a four-star. And so, Mike, I agree with you. You know, highly recruited, and they never really got that offensive line rolling like they should have got rolling.
Man, a couple
with all that talent.
Remember a couple years back when Kellen was there and they had all those guys? Man, they had the best offensive line in college football. Once those guys all went to the pros.
They were young. I mean,
real young.
They were young, but they had a ton of talent, but they never were able to come together.
My thing about it is that they didn't blow LSU up front along defensive line.
Well, a lot of teams.
Man.
A lot of teams. They just didn't get enough movement.
Nothing at all. Because I thought the running game for them, with the backs they had and all these four- and five-star recruits, that they could run the ball. That really wasn't the case this year.
I mean, you look at the back that's down – what's his name? Down in Miami that kind of blew up until he got hurt.
Yeah, he used to be A-Chain, but he didn't change his name.
Yeah, he changed the name. I'm going to still call him A-Chain. He may not call himself A-Chain.
Yeah, he's still running against LSU's defense.
Well, I mean, but, like, he was a sprinter. And coming out, he was known as a track guy.
He was a track guy.
You talk about him being able to find creases and find the holes, and he never really was able to find them consistently with the type of offensive line that they had. And so, you know, you go back, like you said, with Kellen Munn, that group was really, really good, and they had all the four and five stars coming in right behind them. But, you know, really for the last 2 years, it never came together for them. But you start to see some of the NFL teams. We talked about Green yesterday. And he was a first rounder by the Houston Texans, and now you have another offensive lineman here go. It's the fourth round, but they've had a couple of other guys that have been drafted from A&M, and, you know, when you look at it from an individual standpoint, really talented, but overall as a cohesive five, you know, just not the production that you would have assumed.
That's what I'm interested with A&M with Elko now, because he's a trench guy. Has always been that type of guy. You looked at the defense.
It starts with him on the defensive side. If he can get after you on the defense, you know your offensive line is going to be pretty good.
Their defense last year was pretty doggone good. They were feisty on the defensive side. Now, again,
you got five stars across the board.
All across. I think when we did the pregame, Herb Tyler and I were looking at that. Of the 11 starters, 9 were either
five-star or four-stars.
Yeah. And the other two guys were guys that I think they were fours, but they weren't that high four.
Correct.
So, man, they were absolutely loaded, but they had some talent. Boy, they could run. You know who's the lowest rated guy? The guy that peaked in round two, Edgen Cooper. From Covington.
Cooper was the lowest rated because we talked about McKinley Jackson.
Yeah.
McKinley was the number one player in the country at one point, and he was a five-star across the board. And then they had the two defensive ends that were, you know, top in the country.
Now, one's
as well.
At Ole Miss now.
Nolan Smith, yes. I think it is. But he was a D-tackle. Yeah. He was a five-star. He was a five-star, but he was a D-tackle. And so the other two defensive ends were five-stars as well. And so, I mean, when you go across it and you talk about feisty, all of those guys will play in the NFL. Now, they may not all be drafted first round, but every one of those guys will play in the NFL just because of the tools that they have, and it's the fit. And we always talk about there ain't a lot of 6'5", 6'6", you know, 240, 250-type defensive ends or 315 type defensive tackles walking around just hanging out saying, hey, I'm available.
Yeah, come get me.
Yeah.
like with Ole Miss to get Florida's defensive end. He was the best defensive player.
Prince. I can't say his last name.
Oh, Mukamura?
No. Prince Urelli or something.
He was clear-cut the best defensive player on Florida's team. Now, you could tell because the other guys were really struggling. But he goes to Ole Miss, and they don't normally get that type of defensive line.
No, well, NIL.
And then get the A&M guy, too.
NIL, they push the chips in.
So the Cardinals are up with the selection now.
Yep.
And we just waiting to hear the announcement.
And then the Chargers.
And it's Darian Taylor Demerson, the safety from Texas Tech. I know the Saints liked him quite a bit. He's a guy that could play both free and strong safety. He's played in the slot, a really good cover guy, track sprinter in high school, and they used him a lot on the blitz. Coming off the edge, he did really well. Now, Texas Tech, they're not known for having a bunch of really good defensive players, but Taylor Demerson was a really good football player, and I do know that people in the Saints organization liked him a lot.
And right now, you know, just looking at a clip here of him standing flat-footed, but he's playing the slot. He's able to track the football.
He plays it like a receiver.
Yeah, does a nice job of just high-pointing the football, being able to go up and get it. And so going out to
10 interceptions in 3 years, and they didn't really sort of pick on him. I think he'd have been picked higher, but he's 5'10 and a half.
That's tough. That puts you in a slot, or you're a box guy. You're going to be a box guy.
Looking at the best available players, guys, the top five, at least on the ESPN board, you got T.J. Tampa, the corner from Iowa State, linebacker Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Another safety in Jaden Hicks from Washington State. Also, tight end from the Ohio State in Cade Stover.
I like him. You know why? He can block. Now, he can catch the football, but Cade also can block really well. He's a big, tall drink of water, but he got some meat on the bone.
Yeah, seeing 6'4", 247.
Again, Jared Wiley is another guy. I'm going to bring his name up till he gets picked from TCU, who I think is a really good football player. And it surprised me he is still around at this stage.
Guys, we'll take a break, step away from our WWL Draft Fest coverage. When we get back, we'll hear Mike Hoss's interview with
Kai Harley.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more, like I said, of our TrainSouth.com Day 3 WWL Draft coverage. We're here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Stop by and say hey. We'll return right after this here on Saints Radio, WWL.
Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Steve Geller, and Mike Dettelier. And if you've been watching the draft, you've seen the Saints War Room, and there's a certain emphasis put on what this month is. It's Autism Acceptance Month. I spoke yesterday with Kai Harley, the Assistant General Manager, Vice President, Football Operations. He is the cap guru, and why this importance and the significance of what they're doing for autism acceptance.
I guess give me a sense for you in the war room and kind of how that kind of evolved over the last couple of years to making a statement and really kind of putting some emphasis on Autism Awareness Month.
Well, I think what ended up happening was once the league was really making it a requirement to have cameras in your draft room, I just saw it as an opportunity where we're going to have a camera in here, we're going to have exposures. Like, there's no other opportunity to really hit this number of people in one shot as we have on, you know, during the draft coverage. So it really married up with April being Autism Acceptance Month and the draft coverage. It really was something that was sort of organic and really made a lot of sense, where we can visibly have a lot of coverage and a lot of awareness brought about just by showing our logo and having fans ask more questions about what it is that we're doing.
That was my question. What's been kind of the impact of people ask and, you know, or, hey, I didn't know, you know, we're, you know, it's a family, it's a fraternity.
Look, I think it's brought a lot of attention. I think a lot of people didn't necessarily know about the sensory rooms that we had. And look, I think it's helped not only the Saints, I think it's helped the Pelicans as well, in that we have sensory rooms at both venues. So the fact that a lot of people didn't know that, if you reach one, you're making a step in the right direction, and I thought we've reached more than one.
Yourself and Jeff Ireland, and you guys both know that my family has, you know, been impacted with this. It's, you know, it doesn't go away, yeah. And it's parents, right? I mean, you're so scared, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, but we have always found that parents and colleagues who are going through similar situations have been very helpful, and I would imagine that would be the same for you.
Yeah, look, I think it's important to have support groups for parents, because it's, you know, the unspoken effect of dealing with, you know, whether it's a child, you know, on the spectrum, or whether it's a child with any sort of disability. Like, a lot of times people take things for granted and don't understand how difficult it is for people to deal with their own situation. So I think any support that we can bring, any awareness that we can bring, is only going to help in the long run.
And the key, because for families that do face those challenges, it doesn't end on May 1st. It's about a year-long, philosophy and a year-long awareness.
Yeah, look, it's year-long awareness, and it's a lifetime of things to deal with. And one of the things that my wife and I are very passionate about is bringing more awareness to adults with autism, right? Because a lot of times we focus on early childhood development, as we should. And yet, as a society, we don't really have plans for these kids when they become adults.
Or even adolescents. Yep. To late teenagers, it's, you know, we know what to do, 3 to 8, speech and, you know, inclusion, but there's some pockets out there that need to be looked at.
Yeah, and then, you know, as they get older and they age out, like, they can go to high school for a couple of extra years, but then after that, where are the resources? Right, where's the community? So I think it's up to us to really provide at least a space for people to be able to communicate and get some information out. So not only is it the visual, you know, we try and connect with different organizations within the region to give them a platform at least to get their message out. So, you know, we have our draft party tomorrow at Manning's, and, you know, we're going to have several organizations there. We're going to have SOAR. One of these organizations, I forgot, wasn't able to attend. They had a scheduling conflict, but we had SOAR, which is Strengthening Outcomes with Autism Resources. We had Gulf South Autism Center, Raphael Village, and Computing for Youth with Autism through Families Helping Families. So there's going to be a panel discussion. I believe it's between 2 and 2:30 tomorrow, where they'll have an opportunity to have a panel and people can ask questions and basically get more exposure out there for people.
Well, on behalf of everyone, we thank you for helping push that exposure, and good luck today. Good luck through this weekend, and good luck in the future.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Kai Harley, Jeff Ireland, and many, many others, and certainly because there's not enough going on today, we're at Rouse's. I think there's a thing called Jazz Fest Golf Tournament. Saints are having their event at Manning's Restaurant. And the Pelicans at 2:30. So come to Rouse's, get your food, stop everywhere. Just keep it all going. And so we're happy to help promote that for the Saints, because it touches a lot of people.
Guys, we just had a couple picks, obviously, coming off the board. The Darian Taylor Demerson, safety out of Texas Tech, going to the Arizona Cardinals. Alabama defensive tackle.
You want me to do it, Steve?
Hit it, Justin.
Egbo Igbe.
Going to the Chargers.
How about that? Alabama kid. Played both defensive end, defensive tackle at Alabama. Good player.
We play him.
Cedric Gray, the linebacker out of North Carolina. Tennessee Titans, Theo Johnson, a tight end out of Penn State.
He went to the Giants. He's on the all-potential team. Man, he got talent.
Sounds like the all-airline drive team during training
camp. Oh, my God, he got talent. But he's never been super productive at Penn State. But he'll wow you in a workout. Okay, so maybe the Giants can get the best out of him. And then the final selection with the Vikings, Kyrie Jackson. Cover cornerback from Oregon. Boy, Oregon's got some players. That's why they were pretty good last year with all that talent.
And next up, we're waiting on to see what the Falcons do. We just heard the buzzer. They are coming out on the clock to announce their pick. Interested to see where they go today. Obviously, still a lot of buzz about taking Michael Penix round one.
I'm interested to see who this is making the pick.
He's another content creator. Come on, Mike. Yeah, that's the world we live in.
Oh,
I think these are either like super fans or just special guests. Of
international fan of the year.
There you go.
How about that? SWAT.
Another one. Content creator.
What's that? Is that 33 for Bijan?
That's 23.
23, okay.
The worst numbers in football.
Oh, you know about that well, right.
If they don't – oh, my gosh. Falcons, this is their fourth.
Okay, you got to see the selection now.
Pick.
He's using the whole Michael minute to Penix. Give himself a little promo time, I guess.
Mike, Aru.
This one's a little easier to say,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, Brandon Dorlus, who's a defensive end, defensive tackle. And guess where he played? Oregon. Oregon was loaded. They had some talent last year. They just couldn't beat one team, Washington. Washington had their number, but Brandon's 6'3", 285. Played a little end, played a little defensive tackle. Really good technician. I wish he was a little bit bigger, thicker. He's not going to get too much bigger than what he is. They're not the frame to put it on. But the one thing with him now they pick Dorlus and Aurororo with two picks, two and now four. So right. Defensive line.
And outside linebacker in between that with Brandon Braden Trice.
Now they need cover people, though.
Well, you need some cover people, but, I mean, the biggest thing that they've got, they had to do.
They don't have no pass rushers.
Yeah, they didn't have any pass rushers. They had to get some pass rushers.
They've been down the board as far as quarterback pressure and sacks the last 3 years.
We are rolling on here with our Draft Fest coverage brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Come join us at the Metairie at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard before I throw it out there, seeing that the pick is in with the New England Patriots. We'll get that for you live. But, man, come out, see us at Rouse's. Plus, they got boneless shoulder roast going on today, only $3.97 a pound. Want to stop up over here and get that. Save $4 a pound on that, gentleman. Patriots fan club, Jonas Zauru making the pick for New England. Looks like they're out at Foxborough Stadium.
Man, they got this set up all over the world.
Yeah,
I know it, right.
NFL spends, I mean, because those people, they live in Boston. They just drove an hour, right? They're the only ones in the stadium.
Wide receiver from UCF, Javon Baker going to New England, gentlemen.
If he was faster, he wouldn't be here.
That was not Foxborough.
No,
that was an international.
That may well. I think the other pick earlier, can't remember what team. I think that was another one of the international.
That was not Fox.
Yeah, international stadiums that they were at.
So Javon Baker, really, 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 really good route runner from Central Florida. Not a speedster, but really good possession guy, and man, he can catch the football. He's one of them. I know people say, well, he averaged almost 22 yards a catch. A lot of that is sort of run after catch. But he's not a speedster by any stretch. A really good receiver as a route runner's concern, and a guy that can corkscrew you into the ground. I mean, he's that type of route runner. But he can get up and go get the football, and that's a nice spot for him to go to New England, who desperately, desperately need wide receivers.
Well, we'll be right back with more of the TrainSouth.com, WWL's Draft Fest coverage. Day 3, winding things down this day. We'll be here till 6 p.m. Come check us out right after this. We'll be back on WWL.
All right, we're back here on Day 3 of the NFL Draft. Mike Dettelier along with Steve Geller, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes. Got Luke coordinating and supervising behind the scenes here, and the Packers. You would figure they picked another guy that we talked about quite a bit, Oregon. Evan Williams, safety. He started out at Fresno State, and then he transferred over there. So,
that's three of the last four. Oregon.
Well, you can see why they were pretty good. Like I said, they didn't match up well against Washington. But Evan Williams, I think he'll be a nickel corner safety in the National Football League. He played a lot of corner at Fresno State. He's a guy that, from a safety standpoint, that could fill in a lot of the nickel and dime packages.
And that's the – if you count, we go back to the second pick, Troy Franklin. That's four picks from Oregon here at the start of the fourth round. This could be Oregon.
They got some players.
Quack, quack.
No, we all thought it would be Michigan. But, man, right. It looks like Oregon. They've had more select. I think Michigan could push the record. And we saw in 2019 what LSU did, and Miami did it years before that.
This is a broad question. It feels to me that sometimes that teams that you don't, that maybe don't do as well, like for whatever reason, I hear Texas Tech and Texas A&M, right, all the time from a draft standpoint, but on teams that don't necessarily are that successful, especially Texas A&M.
As far as drafted, or
yeah,
what do you mean?
As far as players
Here's
getting
my
drafted.
Thing. How do you get them defensive players, and their defenses are so damn bad every year?
Good question.
Is that valid? I feel
every once in a while you have one.
Texas A&M.
I remember
players.
The year the Saints picked Alex Molden, and they had Jerron Cherry. Cal had like 11 players picked in that draft class. They won 4 games. So Hokie was, how the hell could they? Right. Got some bad coaching.
That's why I'm extremely bad coaching.
But that was my question about Penn State. I mean, you've got 8 guys drafted or something like that already, and it's like, you know, yeah, you had a successful season, but it should have been better is what my point was.
You cannot beat Ohio State and Michigan. You stuck in purgatory.
Yeah.
You might be pretty good.
You're number 3 in the pecking order. And, I mean, and with SC coming over.
And Oregon and Washington.
Oregon and Washington. Oh. You may drop down to number 5 in the pecking order. So
DeCamrion Robinson from Mississippi State goes to the Raiders.
Yeah, Richardson. DeCamrion Richardson, cornerback. So interesting story about him. He was a young man that could have came back for one more year.
Yeah.
He actually went in a transfer portal and, you know, did probably the unthinkable.
Oh.
He went from Ole Miss. I mean, he went to Mississippi State to Ole Miss. But he was never enrolled in class at Ole Miss. So I don't know if that technically counts, you know, as far as transferring from your rival school to the other. And I don't know if he's a fourth-round talent. He is probably
he's
more
a fourth-round athlete.
He's a – well, athlete-wise, he's probably a second-round athlete. Yeah. The problem he probably had was a lot like the corner from Mississippi State that got drafted by Washington, I think, in the second round or late.
First round.
Late first. I don't know if he was first round. I think he was late second. But anyway, he was the end of the first if he was. It was just pure maybe size and speed or whatever. But Richardson can play.
I said, see, he led the SEC in, for corners.
You know why?
The past two seasons.
They picked on him.
Richardson can play, though. he can play. And so to go out to the Raiders, that's a good pickup for them. And he's a better player than a fourth-round grade or whatever. And
focus for him.
Well, that may be a little
bit
true.
I'm telling you, focus for him.
That may be a little bit true as well. But I'll be interested to see how his career unfolds out there in Las Vegas.
Well, they'll definitely give him an opportunity to play.
Well,
because with Amik Robertson signing with the Lions, now that's a hole there, and the Ravens have just picked Devontae Walker, a wide receiver from North Carolina, who's a thickly built receiver, but he's a bit of a straight line guy. He's never been somebody that's got a lot of wiggle, but man, he's got straight line speed that you're looking for. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens, another weapon from them outside, and most likely Odell. Played his last days with the Ravens.
Yeah, with the Ravens, I do agree with you.
Miami, to me, would be the perfect fit in what Mike McDaniel does offensively.
Well, and for Odell as well, I mean, where he's at in his career, he's got to know that I'm not the one anymore.
No.
I may be the number three. And so can I go in and contribute and be able to help and get open when I get those one-on-ones? Because he can still do that. But I don't think that he is the the one.
He's not the alpha anymore.
Well, that's the one.
He's not the alpha.
Seeing guys that got long guy, makes tough catches, but he didn't have such a great showing at the Senior Bowl.
Man,
who? Devontae Walker.
Walker, because you know why? If you can only run straight, okay, I know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You got to have some wiggle and have some ability.
You drop your hips?
Yeah, but he's a straight line runner. I don't know if you can teach that at this stage of his career. To teach him a lot different, because everybody's told him the exact same thing about him. And it's not that he doesn't have talent, but he is a bit of a straight line runner.
I have a hard time running straight.
Well, look at me.
Jacksonville, this would be a big – so we go Jacksonville, Pickens, Cincy, and then Jacksonville again. So two of the next three belong to the Jaguars.
Maybe a potential trade partner there with the Saints right now?
One thing I think sneakily has happened. I think Doug Peterson's got a little bit of heat on him. You know, they brought him to straighten out Trevor Lawrence. And at times, man, Trevor's been kind of matzah a little bit. Man, because I never believed that knee injury, not the way he ran against the Saints. Either that, he got
That's
good
true,
medication.
Right.
One of the two, he got good medication.
I need some of those meds that he was on for my knee.
Man, he's really not been the guy. And he has to take hold of that, too. Part of that's on him, too. But Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback whisperer in Jacksonville. And you look at Trevor, and while he's gotten a little better, how much better? And do the cons say, you know what, hey, man, we got a lot of talent. We paid you a lot of money, Doug. I can see why the Eagles let you go.
It's also, if you're looking at, if to Steve's point, so we're in the fourth round. You go Colts or Jacksonville, and then Colts, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Philly, Seattle, Chicago, Philly.
Wow.
So you got two teams that have two picks in the next, six picks.
And Saints and Eagles have been pretty good trade dance partners of late.
Well, your boy, he don't like to trade them picks.
He traded them down. That's all, yesterday.
But he accumulated them.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, maybe he'll take the Saints all their fifth rounders just to get one.
That I don't know about all that, but I do know how he likes to accumulate picks. Good. And the Jaguars have picked Javon Foster, the offensive tackle from Missouri. Duke, Deuce, you must have covered him. You did a lot of the Missouri games, but Javon Foster played on both the left and the right side for Missouri at tackle. It goes to the Jaguars. So,
Mike, I have to go back and look at my notes. I did do a ton of those Missouri games, so I would have to go back and look at my notes and see what I wrote.
He was the team captain. I think he's either a three-year starter, two-and-a-half-year starter along their offensive line. Good football player. Where I think he might be is a really good six man that he can play tackle and guard.
The tight end, or he's a rover type guy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Folks, stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL draft coverage. We are at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Come out, talk some football, do some shopping, seeing that blackberries, blueberries, and raspberries, only 3 for $5. One of their specials going on here, Dollar Day Sale. Check it out here at the Rouse's Market, Power Boulevard. Say hi to the WWL staff. We're out here, Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, Mike D'Antilier, and myself. Be back with more of our Draft Fest coverage right after this here on WWL Saints Radio. WWL's Draft Fest coverage rolling on here from the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. They got 21-35 count peeled and divined Louisiana shrimp, folks, for $6.99 a pound. That's right, I said Louisiana shrimp. Also live and boiled crawfish here every day. So check that out at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. The picks coming in for the Colts right now. We'll get down on that, but we had an LSU player coming off the board already. Defensive tackle Jordan Jefferson going to the Jags.
Yeah, you know, he teams up with Mason again. Mason Smith went to Jacksonville. And the defensive coordinator there is Ryan Nielsen. And their linebackers coach is Matt House, the former defensive coordinator. Man, listen, it's connected dots all over in this world. But Jordan Jefferson is the one guy that really took advantage of Pete Jenkins being at LSU. And Pete praised how well he had developed at LSU. He was a guy last year. You wouldn't even talk about no fourth round. He'd be lucky to get selected because he's part of a rotation at West Virginia. He comes to LSU. He was not a starter. Then Makai goes down. Makai Wingo.
Someone else we're waiting to hear a name on.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Jordan becomes a guy. He's a power guy. Not a lot of speed in his game. It's power. And he's quick off the snap, but he's real powerful in the upper body, moves you around, can rack and stack. And then he's got good speed in a short area on the field. But Jordan Jefferson, really good football player. And now, again, teamed up with Brian Thomas, first-round pick at Jacksonville from LSU, Mason Smith, who was a second-round pick, Ryan Nielsen, and also his old coach at LSU, Matt House.
Another LSU player like we're talking about in this draft. So that is now the fifth LSU player taken in this draft?
Well, 3 in round 1, then Mason, and now Jordan. So that's 5.
Yeah, 5 Tigers.
Tigers. And there'll be a 6 pretty soon because I don't think Makai's going to have to wait too much longer.
We kind of talked about in the beginning of the show, a little bit surprised we haven't heard anything about the 2 quarterback big names still left on the board.
Man, once the 6 went off, it's almost like, okay.
Crickets. We don't need any more.
Yeah, we.
No more quarterbacks needed.
What we did is we shut off the spigot, so to speak, quarterback. Now, it was interesting, Cincinnati pick Eric Ull. And he was a guy who started out at Michigan. He was a Harbaugh guy. And then he got hurt. I mean, one injury after another, goes to Iowa. And if he's healthy, he can flat out play. Big question mark is, can he stay healthy?
Gotcha.
Because Eric Ault is a really good football player. And I do know one thing. And Jim Harbaugh knows about tight ends. And he likes to play multiple tight ends. But he just couldn't stay healthy. And I think maybe he thought it was bad luck. He got out of Dodge. He goes to Iowa, but he has a bunch of injuries there, too. And now a big Tyrese Knight, who played at UTEP. Last year, 140 tackles at UTEP. Man, you talk about you racking and stacking almost, with 140 tackles.
Almost 400 for his career.
Yeah. So,
when you look at him, I mean, you talk about being able to be that active. You are not coming off the field
ever.
Yeah, you're not coming off the field, and you're very, very disruptive. If that's how you're playing.
And one of the things with Chris Ballard. And he's told me this, Mike, I'm all about production. Don't give me the potential guy.
Right.
The potential guy gets you fired.
Right.
I'm all about a guy that can get production, and that's what Tyrese Knight did. He was a really good football player, a little undersized. He can run the field, great instincts for UTEP. Now he's an Indianapolis coach.
Hey, Steve.
Yo.
Pelicans tip off in 2.5 hours. So, you know, all the listeners.
Yeah.
they better get there. The gates open. The gates open.
12:30.
Gates open in 30 minutes. So and all of our listeners, you need to get there.
50% off concession.
I got my badge. Steve will take care of the other 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
put
them
on my pad.
Yeah, just Steve Geller told me to come over here.
and he said he got it.
Just send it to WWL. Diane Newman's
got it. That's a little bit different now.
Well, you said that. I didn't.
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
You said that.
I think you're better off going with Steve Geller told you over here.
Yeah. How about this? I'll take my badge, go down, get half price, and come on back.
Come on back. There you go.
All right, folks, we'll stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Power Boulevard in Metairie is where we at, the Rouse's Market. Come out and celebrate football with Team WWL. Also, the Dollar Day sales going on. We got boneless shoulder roast, only $3.97 a pound. Some prime meat. Going to be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. I said Sports Talk. It's really Draft Fest. Right here on
it's
WWL.
All the same thing.
Same difference. Welcome back into WWL's Draft Fest coverage. You heard we are at the Rouse's Markets on Power Boulevard. You can get live and boiled crawfish daily here from 11 to 7 p.m. Stop in and check it out. Say hey to us as well, guys. Coming off the board after Jordan Jefferson of LSU going to the Jags, we had Wisconsin center Tanner Bordellini going to the Indianapolis Colts linebacker out of UTEP.
He is Italian.
yeah, that's a fun one to say.
You ain't trying to pass him on that one. He's legit.
The UTEP linebacker Tyrese Knight going to Seattle, and then a guard from South Dakota State, Mason McCormick, to Pittsburgh
he's really
Steelers.
Good. Small college kid, but he can play.
And what do you know? The Miami Dolphins making a trade with guess who? The Philadelphia Eagles, who have traded out of their pick, accumulating more selections. So the Dolphins on the clock right now, see where they end up going. After that, it's Seattle and then the Bears as we're rolling on here in the fourth round of the draft.
Man, I'm going to give a shout-out. He just texted me, Jason, J.C. Breer. Is a Louisiana guy. He sells spirits. You know what that means. Out in Denver, Colorado, he's listening right now. Man, he tell everybody, great show. He's listening out in Denver on the Odyssey app. So, JC,
it's awesome.
Great to hear from you, man. Appreciate
it. If he sees Lionel Bienvenue, tell him he said hello.
Okay, we'll do it. I'll tell him.
Local kid.
Stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. Once again, Rouse's Market in Metairie on Power Boulevard. Come check it out and celebrate football with Team WWL. Do a little shopping. We got pork tenderloin, St. Louis ribs on sale, $1.97 a pound. Taking a news break, and we'll be right back with our picks here on WWL Saints Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.